I want to start with a simple question. Did you notice that there was a mistake in the title of the shiur? Can you find the mistake in the title of the shiur? So I'm talking about the poster that was published, but I see that I actually repeated the same mistake in my handout, and I have to apologize that I didn't give enough. It's my first Tisha B'Av in Toronto for many, many years. I usually was in a camp or in Israel, and I could not imagine that we have such a program here. So Yashar Koach to Rabbi Kelman and to Torah in Motion. And to everyone who came, it's remarkable, in my opinion. So the mistake is that the title is that my lecture is going to be about Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. There is no one like Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. His real name is Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. And it's very, very significant. It's significant because Rav is one thing, and Rabbi is another thing, but Rabban is significant. Rav Shrira Gaon is telling us that the title Rabban is kept only for one position, which is the Nasi. The Nasi, even if he did not teach you Torah, he is Rabban. He is a ultimate Rebbe. And therefore, Rabban Gamliel is the president. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai because he was Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, which hint that he was the president. And you know what? Just before the shiur, I wanted to go to something very interesting in Masechet Avot. Everyone knows Masechet Avot, and everyone knows the first Mishnah in Masechet Avot, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, and we have all the list how the Torah was transmitted from one generation to another. And we have, from Moshe Rabbeinu, we have Yossi ben Yoezer, we have Yossi ben Yochanan, we are coming to Shmaya ve'Avtalion, and after Shmaya ve'Avtalion, more familiar names, like Hillel ve'Shamai, Rabban Gamliel, Shimon Bno, which was Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and then Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the beginning of Perek Bet. Why is this list from Hillel to Rabban Gamliel to Rabban Shimon Bno? Because all of them were descendants of Hillel HaZaken. And Hillel HaZaken, who came from Bavel and was the president, the Nasi, after Shmaya ve'Avtalion, had a shoshelet, son after son, of 14 people. Interestingly enough, the first one only was Hillel, and the last one was Hillel. We remember the last one because he left out the calendar. But in between, we have another 12 people, 12 Nasi'im. The most famous, I guess, is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi after Hillel and Rabban Gamliel and Rabban Shimon Bno and Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda. And after Rabbi Yehuda, it's very easy to remember. It's Gamliel, Yehuda, Gamliel, Yehuda, Gamliel, Yehuda, until we come to the last one, Hillel. This is already in the time of the Amoraim, actually. They were in Eretz Israel and he left us the calendar. In Perek Rishon in Masechet Avot, you cannot find the name of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a student of Hillel, as we are going to see. Surprisingly, he resurfaced in Perek Bet. In Perek Bet, we find Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kibel mi'ilel ve'shamai, in the middle of Perek Bet in Masechet Avot. And what does he say? Hu haya omer, אם למדת תורה הרבה, אל תחזק טובה לעצמך. If you learned a lot, don't make yourself someone. כי לכך נוצרת. This is your purpose in life. חמישה תלמידים היו לו לרבן יוחנן בן זכאי. He had 5 students. ואילו הם. רבי אליעזר בן אורקנוס. Very famous. רבי אליעזר הגדול. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, Rabbi Yoshua. Every time you find in the Shas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, they were the student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Later on, his students are Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Akiva to a certain point, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel, he was also a Kohen and he was a son-in-law of Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. The fifth one was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, that Rabban Gamliel gave kind of description about each one of them. And he said like the following, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkenos bor sut sheino me'abet tipa. He does not forget one thing that he learned from his rabbis. Rabbi Yoshua ashrei yoladeto. What a beautiful description. His mother should be proud. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Chassid, Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel, Yerechet, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Kemayan HaMitgaber. It was like a spring. He not always kept what he learned from his teachers, but he added, Kemayan, like a spring. And he said the following, Im yu kol chachmei Yisrael, bekaf moznaim, ואליעזר בן הורקנוס עמהם, this is the second version. So if we are going to have a scale and all the sages, all the scholars are going to be on one side, ואלעזר בן ערך בכף השנייה מכריע את כולם. He's going to tip them. He was the greatest. And here is a mystery. We are going to see that only two students from the five joined Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai in his later years. And the big question that we are going to discover and to explore today is, who was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? What happened to him? And what was his influence on Klal Yisrael? Because if we sit here today and we ask ourselves, how? After so many years, with no land until recently, spreading all around, with no Beit HaMikdash, and I hope that everyone paid attention to the keynote, how central was Beit HaMikdash to every single Jew. We are still here, today in Shaarei Shamayim. And this is not something simple. If you read the history of all the nations in the world, no nation survived after they were expelled from their land, period. And we have to appreciate it. And we have to appreciate the fact that it thanks to few people in Jewish history who made it happen. And I think the most important one is Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, as we are going to see. So who was Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai? So in the Daf Mekorot, and again, I'm sorry that no one hold it, not everyone have it. The Gemara is telling us it's actually Avod de Rabbi Natan, but it appears also in a Gemara. 80 zugot shel talmidim hayu lo leilel hazaken. Hillel hazaken had 80 students, pairs of students. Hagadol shebaim Yonatan ben Uziel. Everyone knows the Targum Yonatan. It's a translation on the Torah, which is not only translation, but lots of midrashim around. Ve'akatan shebaim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the little student, the one on the list. He was at the end of the list. The Gemara is telling us, if you want to know something about Yonatan ben Uziel, when he used to learn Torah, if a bird was flying over his head, it was burned alive. There is a famous story, if you want to know what the difference between a Chassid and Misnaged, they learn together this story. And the Chassid say, what a holy person, the bird over his head, and it was like burning. And the Misnaget says that he have to pay for it or not. Is it a grama or it's a direct nezek? So this is Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel. Yochanan ben Zakkai, see the source in Masechet Sukkah Daf Lamed Chet. This is the second one. Amru alav, shelo iniach mikra u'mishna, gemara. You might ask me, what is gemara? Gemara was written only in the fourth century. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai lived in the first century. Gemara means every piece of learning. The Talmud is learning of the Mishnayot. They had kind of Mishnayot. It's not the time to explain what kind of Mishnayot they had. But for sure, they had learning over the Mishnayot, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew everything. Halachot, agadot, דקדוקי תורה, דקדוקי סופרים, קלים וחמורות, גזירות שוות, תקופות, אסטרונומי, גימטריות, שיחת מלאכי השרת, he knew what the angels in heaven speak, שיחת שדים, the demons are language, don't ask me what does that mean, שיחת קלים, the palms are talking to each other, he understood it, משלות כובסין, the people who made laundry, apparently they had all kind of meshalim, parables, and he understood it. Meshalot shualim, what the fox, all kind of parables about fox. Davar gadol vedavar katan, what is davar gadol, maaseh merkava, like all the heavenly chariots and things like this. Davar katan, havayot abayi verava, which means all the questions, all the answers in the Gemara. Abayi v'Rava lived about 500 years later or 400 years later, but he already knew everything that they learned later. So we are talking about a great person with no question. Now, what is the connection of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai to the Churban? So I'm not sure if you heard the famous story about Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai in Yerushalayim. I will just make it very brief for people who might not hear about it. Yerushalayim under siege. There are chachamim in Yerushalayim, and there is a great confusion in Yerushalayim. As it very, very clear from the story about Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Not only that, Yerushalayim at the time has different parties what the people should do in this crisis. The Romans are outside. An empire that at the time was from Afghanistan of today to Ireland, all Europe, most of Asia is conquered by the mighty Roman army. And here in Yerushalayim, there are few people, not well armed, but they believe that they can stand the threat of the Roman Empire. Don't forget, they already had the Greeks and the Hashmonaim. There were few examples from the past that even small group of Jews determined, and with Siyata Dishmaya, can really defeat the greatest empires of the world. Not everyone agreed with them. And here there were three different parties in Yerushalayim. One party, the Kanaim, the Biryonim, said, we have to fight. And they made everything possible in order to prepare the city to fight against the Romans. Now, I want to be clear. All the people in Yerushalayim did not like the Romans. Already in Eretz Israel, there were some parties who said, we have to make peace with the Romans. It's not going to work. Actually, they have many good ideas. Let's make peace with them. And, you know, later, let's see what will happen. If you read Josephus, who was actually in the beginning someone who fought the Romans and later joined them, you can see that many people believed in this way. Let's make peace with the Romans. Ignoring some of the unpleasant sides of the Romans, which we are not going to talk about today. The second said, well, we have to oppose the Romans. We have to do everything we can just to delay, just to gain some time. Let's try another month, another two, another three. Maybe things will improve. They did not want to make peace with the Romans. They were absolutely against the Roman shita and ideas. And a very small group in Jerusalem that was very confused. I'm not going to talk about the beginning of Christianity here. This is not the place, but a very small group that was really insignificant. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, with no question, as we are going to see later, was one of the center figures in the Jewish scene. There is no question about it. We know that because later he made takanot that only great, great people can do. But something changed his views. And this was the way the Kanaim, the zealots, behaved in Jerusalem. One example. The Gemara in Gittin is telling us that they had enough food and enough means to survive for a few years. There are different opinions about it, but clearly it was good for a few years. Now, if you have food, if you have water, if you have wood for the winter time, you are not eager to launch a war against the Romans. And many people did not want to launch a war against the Romans. What did they do? They wanted to force a war against the Romans. And therefore, they destroyed all the storage they had in Jerusalem in order to force the people to choose between two options, or to give themselves to the Romans. Most time it did not help. The other choice was to fight to death, even if it means to death. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was really troubled by this. He knew that you cannot fight the mighty Roman Empire, especially when times were very different from 200 years before, that really Bnei Israel were on a high level spiritually, and in terms of the love between the sects in Am Israel. He opposed the idea of fighting the Romans. At the same time, he did not like them. But the moment he saw that their Kanaim, these zealots, are destroying Jerusalem, he decided that the only way is to think about the future. The present is done. And he plotted an idea, and he presented himself as a dead person. This was the only one to leave Jerusalem. He left Jerusalem not without troubles, because the guards on the walls did not let anyone to leave Jerusalem. And we know that sometimes they cut open people to see if, even by the dead people, they tried to smuggle out coins of gold. And after a debate between, apparently, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, who took him outside the walls, he came to Aspasianus, Vespasian, I guess in English, and he greeted him as the king. He greeted him as the king. I think that Yosef, who said that he greeted him, Vive Domain Imperator, which means Yechi HaMelech, Yechi HaKeisar. And the Talmud is telling us that he was not very happy with it, because if I'm the king, first of all, I'm not the king, because there was another king. There was a Seder in Rome. And he said, no, you don't understand. I know that Beit HaMikdash cannot be destroyed, but by a king, not by a general. And indeed, 3 days later, there came a letter. According to the Talmud, it happened on the spot, but even Josephus is telling us that 3 days later came a letter from Rome that the consuls in Rome decided to crown Vespasian as the new Caesar. He was very impressed with him, and he said, please ask me for what you want. I'll give it to you. He was very, very impressed with him. And here comes the famous words. He said, I want Yavne, ten li Yavne v'chachamea. Give me Yavne and its scholars. V'shoshilta de Rabban Gamliel. Give me the Shoshelet, this dynasty that started with Hillel and went to Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Keep them alive. And the third one, there was a special individual in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Tzadok, he was a Kohen. And he, for 40 years, he fasted. It was not only Tisha B'Av, day after day, when he realized that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed, he tried to delay the Gzeira, and he fasted every day, and he looked like a Muslim. And he asked the Romans to give him a doctor in order to cure Rabbi Tzadok, which is very, very interesting. You have a Jewish community in Yerushalayim, no one doctor, that's interesting. But apparently there was a need for a special doctor. And Aspasianus decided to give it to him. You know, one thing that is very, very hard to learn is the sources about the Churban. There are few. The Talmud Bavli, very famous in Masechet Gittin. I'm sure that everyone who attended the class has heard few stories from Masechet Gittin. But we have Eicha Rabba. We have other sources in the Talmud. And let me tell you one thing. After you read all of them, you don't know what was the real story. I can assure you that. You don't have to be a choker just to realize that you have four sources in front of you, and each one of them is telling you the story differently. And the reason is very simple. Chachamim are not telling stories. They try to create a narrative, and there is a big difference between the two. A story is the facts, what happened. But Chachamim were not interested in the story. They were interested in the narrative, what the future generation are going to take from this disaster. And if you learn the Gemara in Masechet Gittin, for example, you can see that Chachamim tried to portray Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in a certain way. And they could not avoid bringing opinion that were said 100 years later and more, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a terrible, terrible mistake. To the point that Rabbi Yossi says, Meishiv chachamim achor, v'da'atam yesakel. The pasuk in Mishlei, that Hashem sometimes called a smart person to make a grave mistake, a grave mistake. He had to ask for Yerushalayim. He asked for Yavne v'chachamea. He asked for Shoshilta de Rabban Gamliel. He had to ask, this was a special hour. He had to ask for Yerushalayim, that Aspasianus is not going to destroy Beit HaMikdash. And he missed it. It was such a missed opportunity. So the Talmud brings it. And the Talmud is bringing us a story about the last moments of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was crying, and his students came to him, and they say to him, you are the greatest in this generation. Why are you crying? He said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I'm going to Gehinnom or to Gan Eden. And he did not explain why. But we can guess that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not know at the time, did I do the right thing or the wrong thing? Big decisions like this, giving up Beit HaMikdash and asking for Yavne and the scholars of Yavne, was it right or wrong? And the great person feels accountable for decisions like this and is not sure. Where is he going? In the next world. Because many of his friends criticized him. As we see 100 years later. But I will show you something very, very important. A question first. Did you ever heard about Yavne before this story of Yavne v'Chachamea? Did you ever heard about the name Yavne? You know, there are Hebron and Shechem and I'm sure some other places around Jerusalem. Well, what is Yavne? Tell me Yavne v'Chachamea. What was in Yavne? Well, I think that we have to see a little bit the historic background to this time of the Romans. The Romans had two refugee camps in Israel. The Romans were not nice people. But they encouraged people to leave their cities and to join the Romans. They knew that the Jews are difficult people to deal with until today. They are stubborn, they have principles, and they are willing to sacrifice their life if they think that it's going to clash with the Torah. And they encourage people to leave Jerusalem, to leave other cities, especially in Yehuda, and they made refugee camps in two places. One was Gofna. Gofna today is in the Rashut Palestinite. It's a little bit northern of Ramallah. And interestingly enough, in the houses that the Romans built 2,000 years ago, about 1800 years later, the Ottomans, the Turks, built a huge prison that used the same buildings. Today, there is a Arab village in the place with, I just checked this morning, they have 11,000 people there. And surprise, surprise, it's called El Jofen. And you know, one of the chassadim that the Arabs did with us is that they kept the names of all the places that the Jews used to live thousands of years ago. You know, we came back to Eretz Israel, we don't know where all these places, but it's very simple. You go to a village Arab that is called Al-Jib. Guess what? It's exactly where Gibeon is. We can see in Al-Jib today the place where there was the Brecha, that this famous story in Shmuel is taking place, that the fights between the soldiers of Avner and Yoav. A very famous village between Yerushalayim and Efrat, Batir. Any idea? Beitar, of course, this is Beitar. And Batir today is next to Beitar. And so on and so on. So El Jofen is Gofna, the city. They had a camp for all the people who left Yerushalayim. They did not want them around Yerushalayim anymore. So they took them to about 15 kilometers to the north, to Gofna. They were there. Most of the people there were Kohanim. The Kohanim who left Yerushalayim, the Romans took them and put them in Gofna. The other one was in a place that is called Yamnia, which today everyone that will travel to Israel and go to Yavne, the city of Yavne, there is a tell, there is a big hill, archaeological site, which is Yamnia, which is where the Romans built their headquarters and where the yeshiva of Yavne was. It's not where Kerem Yavne today, it's about 7-8 kilometers to the east. But this was a place for displaced people. The Romans, everyone who joined them, they took him and put him or in Yavne, this was for regular people, or in Gofna. What Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai did was He saw that these people need guidance, need leadership. The people in Jerusalem were not able to provide the most important thing that any community need, leadership. They did not have any leadership. If you read carefully the story about Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, it's one message. It's not so much about Sinat Chinam as much as about lack of leadership. Can you imagine? We have a meal, all Chachmei Yerushalayim, and you know who were Chachmei Yerushalayim at the time. Great people, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, Rabbi Yoezer, Rabbi Tarfon maybe. Great, great people, Rabban Gamliel HaZaken, Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel. Great people. And such a terrible thing happened. Someone is embarrassed in front of everyone and no one stand up and help this poor person. Then it develops. Chachamim are telling us that Bar Kamtza put to test the loyalty of the people, the Jewish people, to the Caesar. He want to show him that the Jews are not loyal to him. And he make a shtick with a korban. He brings a beautiful animal for a korban, and this was the minhag from the times of Koresh, that people, that in Beit HaMikdash, they sacrificed a korban for the king of the time. And he made a small blemish to the animal. And Chachamim saw it right away, and they were confused. What to do? Two options. One is to sacrifice. It's pikuach nefesh. No, Zecharia ben Avkulas, who was the Kohen at the time, says, no, we cannot sacrifice it. It had a blemish. They wanted to kill him at the Moser. They knew what is going to be the next stage. He's going to the Seder, he's going to the general and tell him the whole story. And he's going to destroy Yerushalayim. And Zecharia ben Avkulas says, no, we cannot kill a person because people will say that we kill people who make blemish in a korban, which is not the halacha. You cannot kill a person for that. What happened at the end? The story goes on. Yerushalayim is destroyed. Why? So many people say Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. It's not Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. They triggered it. It was a lack of leadership. A lack of leadership. And I'm sure that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai saw that in this situation, nothing is going to help. If you don't have leadership that can make a clear decision, the ultimate result is destruction. And he tried to save something for the future. So first of all, I want to talk about the six elements that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw that if he's not going to do something about it, everything is going to collapse. First of all, a state. What defines a nation? Every nation has a state. They had no state. At this point, the Jews have no state. It's completely ruled by the Romans. They don't control any part of their life, only maybe in the small kilometer by kilometer in Jerusalem, and that's it. But clearly, after the destruction, they had no state whatsoever. The second one is majority. You want to have a majority. Part of the problem today in Israel is a fear that the Jews are not going to be a majority. And the Jews at this time, after the destruction, were minority in Eretz Israel. Minority. Do you know, by the way, the numbers? It's very important sometimes to talk about the numbers. How many Jews were in the time of the Second Temple? Any idea? What do you think? It was less than 5 million. It more likely 4.5 million. How many Jews we have about, let's say, 40 years after the destruction? 2.1. So you have to understand, although the numbers are not compelling at the Holocaust, but half the population in Eretz Israel was destroyed completely. By the way, You know, if we talk about you know, this issue, it's very, very interesting. It's important to know how many Jews we have later over the generation. Let's say in the, 1,000 years ago, how many Jews we have in the world? The time of the Crusaders, let's say. How many Jews all over the world? Give me a number. What do you think? Under a million. That, come on, fantastic. From the 3rd century to about the 16th century or something like this, it's less than a million people, less than a million Jews in the world. Less than a million Jews in the world. The jump starts in, I think, the 17th century or the 18th century, and we come to unbelievable numbers. Before the Holocaust, we have about, I think, 17 or 18 million Jews in the world. And what's the reason for that? How come that 200 years before they had only 1 million, 3 million, and then it jumps to 17 million? Any idea? I throw to you these numbers, and I want you to ask about, yes. The simple reason is, and we have to appreciate it, is that the rate of death in birth dropped dramatically. From the year 1830, the rate of death is going down. And if every family experienced, sometimes they had maybe 10 pregnancies and sometimes 3-4 survived, it was 10 pregnancies and 8 to 9 survived. This changed everything, and therefore we see this unbelievable jump before the Shoah, and even after the Holocaust, when unfortunately Seret of Am Yisrael died in Mitot Meshunot, we have to see the numbers today and to see the graph of Jewish population. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. When we talk about Gula, there are certain simanim that you can see it statistically. It's unbelievable. By the way, what was the... It's not our topic, but it's important because Jewish continuity is the most important thing after all, and Tisha B'Av comes to mark this. What was the lowest number of Jews? I'm not talking about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but over the history? This was when they came from Babel to Eretz Israel. When they came from Babel to Eretz Israel, and they started to build Beit HaMikdash, there were less than 300,000 Jews in the entire world. Can you imagine something like this? 300,000 Jews all over the world. So think about the numbers today, Bli Ayin Hara. We have to be very thankful to Hashem for this. Anyway, a terrible mashber. The Jews are going in numbers to half, from 4.5 million to 2 million. So they lost their majority economy. They had no economy. When, you know, I really don't want to go there, but if you read everything that the Palestinians say about their lack of nationality, they just define what a nation is. Now, I'm not going into politics, but you have to see the situation then. They had no economy. On the contrary, everything that they still could produce or still could make, the taxes went to the Romans right away. You know, the Romans were so smart. The Machzita Shekel, at the year 64 to 70, when the destruction happened, the Romans allowed the Jews to continue to collect it. And the Jews gave the money. But all this money went to Rome. So even things that by other nations, by the way, they let them run their temples and their religious life, all the money was funneled to Rome. So economy, leadership, I just talked about it. No leadership. Control of the diaspora. There is no connection between the Jews outside Jerusalem and the people in Jerusalem. In a short time, with the lack of ability to respond, to ask questions, to answer. There will be no Jews. You know, we are very lucky today. We come here, we have a shul, we have a seder, we know what to daven. You know how a frum guy looked at the time of Beit HaMikdash? Tefillah, you know, if you knew, if you were lucky to read, then you had a seder. You could come to davening and to take an active part. But most people were illiterate. They could not participate in davening. Shabbat was very, very minimal. Don't even think for one moment for a beautiful table and singing around the table and all the families around the table. People came in the last minute. Okay, this maybe even today, you know, they came from the fields. It was just Isur Melacha and very, very little around it. Yes, there was Takanat Moshe Rabbeinu of Kriya B'Shabbatot and Yamim Tovim. This was the center of the holiday. Only later there are drashot and things like this. So what was there? Beit HaMikdash. This what make you as a frum Jew. You went to Beit HaMikdash in the Shlosha Regalim, you davened in Beit HaMikdash. Outside Beit HaMikdash there were synagogues, but certainly not we have today and not the tefillah we have today. This is all something that developed by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his students. Now, developed, I mean, it was developed before, but to make it ikar and part of the Jewish life was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The last thing is resistance. You know, you need spirit for any community, for every group. The spirit of the Jews in Israel at the time after the destruction was so low. Only 60 years later, we have the merit, the rebel of Bar Kokhba. But until then, they simply were exhausted. They could not do anything, no resistance, nothing which characterized to a point a normal and healthy nation. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw all this. Now, I have a very simple question. You have a president. The president at the time was Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. As I read in Pirkei Avot, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, you know, was a direct descendant of Hillel. We don't hear anything about him. Why doesn't he approach the general or make some arrangement? His name disappeared. The only time that we find him is when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is asking Vespasian to save the family of the president. Where did he go? Well, we know from Asara Rugei Malchut that he was killed. He opposed the Romans, and the Romans killed him. That most likely what happened. We keep this story certainly in the keynote of today and Eile Eskera that we say on Yom Kippur. He was killed. He was one of the Chachamim that, unlike Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, was paralyzed. He opposed the Romans. And when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, they killed him. They killed him. But he had a son. And the son was not young at the time. He was over 30. What happened to him? The answer is, he apparently had to escape, to hide himself from the Romans. The Romans were very cruel. They were very, very afraid, especially from the Jews' rebellion. They knew that as long as the Jews will be able to find a way to keep their minagim, their Torah, they will do it. And they try to destroy completely every cell of resistance. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a little bit different, but not much different. Because here is the point. From all the sources we have, Yavne was not just like a request of Rabban Gamliel. This was the place of the refugees. What Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai asked the Vespasian was, let me teach there. And he thought to himself, okay, I'll let him to teach. I don't think that anything will stay and will be left from these Jewish people, especially after their total defeat. And he let him teach Torah, a terrible mistake for the Romans. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, for 15 years, took the leadership. He was not a Nasi by nature. The Nesiut, the presidency, went from Hillel to Rabban Gamliel, to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, to Rabban Gamliel, to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. This was the natural path of the Nesiut. It was son after son after son. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was not part of it. And he took lots of courage to say, but there is no other one to do it. I will do it. And for 15 years, for apparently the year 70 to the year 85, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai himself became, maybe self-appointed, the president of Klal Yisrael. And right away in these 15 years, he make few takanot that last until now. First of all, you know, let's take a look here what we have. We have a Torah inside. We have an ark here. We have a shulchan here. We have Ezrat Gvarim here, Ezrat Nashim here. Here, it's nice. You can see it right away. What is all this? What do we have here? What do we have here? Torah, Aaron, shulchan. Where is the menorah here? I'm sure it's somewhere. Ezrat Gvarim, Ezrat Nashim, what do we have here? The Bet Knesset is something that we enter, and this is a little Beit Mikdash, Beit Mikdash Meat. All the parts of Mikdash are here, at this point. But it wasn't clear. Think about the nation for hundreds of years. The only thing they see, the only thing they have is Beit HaMikdash, one central place. Even Batei Knesiot at the time was only for one thing, to say Kriyat HaTorah in Shabbatot and Yamim Tovim. That's it, not more than that. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai comes and establish few takanot that are going to change forever the nature of being a Jew. Not less than that. And in 15 years, he dictates the fact that we will be sitting here on Tisha B'Av 2,000 years later. What did he do? So in the daf that I gave you, and I hope that you still have it in front of you, let's see a few of the famous takanot. Let's go to Netilat Lulav. We all do Netilat Lulav 7 days of Sukkot. Is that true? Yes, every day we take the Lulav. This never happened at the time of Beit HaMikdash. In the time of Beit HaMikdash, only in one place in the world, they practiced Netilat Lulav for 7 days. And this was, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivat Yamim. Only in Beit HaMikdash, you celebrate with the Lulav and the Etrog for 7 days. Bamedina, outside, it was only one day. Ulkachtem lachem bayom harishon. Yom harishon, and that's it. So how come that we celebrate Sukkot every day with the lulav and etrog? Barishona, say the second source, Aya lulav nital bamikdash shiva, 7 days. Ubamdina, outside Beit HaMikdash, only one day. Mishecharav Beit HaMikdash, התקין רבן יוחנן בן זכאי שיהל לולב ניטל במדינה שבעה זכר למקדש. Can you imagine? We say a bracha אשר קיצ'נו במצוותיו וציוונו על נטילת לולב here in Toronto. Although the Torah never said that here in Toronto we will have 7 days. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what did he do here? How can you allow people to say a bracha on lulav and etrog for 7 days when the Torah said, ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon? Any ideas? What do you think? You have to be extra bold to do takana like this. What did he do here? But what is behind it? We learn together. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, we don't have Beit HaMikdash. This is bad. This is sad. This is terrible. But we don't say, oy vavoy. The Jewish people never say, ay, gewalt. We say kinot. It's true. We know to appreciate what we lost. But we go on. He took Beit HaMikdash and brought it here to Toronto. Every Sukkot, when we celebrate Sukkot, we take Beit HaMikdash with us to a long journey. And hopefully, Be'ezrat Hashem, next year, there will be no tochnit like this, because we will all spend the Tisha B'Av in Israel celebrating and eating, like you did, by the way, yesterday, right? Yesterday was Tisha B'Av, and it was Shabbat, and we ate. Next year, Be'ezrat Hashem. Oh, it's also a Sunday, but I think it's not Nidche, right? Okay, whatever, Tisha B'Av. They always said about the Encyclopedia Talmudit, you know, Encyclopedia Talmudit started with Aleph, and today I think they are in Mem, and they started in 57. So they always, the joke in Israel was that when they are going to come to the Tisha B'Av, which is going to be at the end of the encyclopedia, it's going to say, many years ago it used to be a fast day, but now it's such a happy... Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai decided that the Beit HaMikdash ceased, but the whole idea of Torah, of Jewish life, will continue nevertheless. We will take Beit HaMikdash in our heart, in our synagogues, in our communities. A beautiful story that I forgot to put here, he goes with his student Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua say to him, oh, Rebbe Gevald, see Beit HaMikdash, you see the breeze, you don't see anything. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is telling him, Al yira levavcha Yoshua. Don't be so sad. Sheyesh lecha davar acher shemechaper al Israel. You have something else. You don't have korbanot, it's true. But there is something else that is atoning for Bnei Israel. And he asked him, well, what is it? Gmilut chasadim. Shekol agomel chasadim im chaveiro mechaper alav. Can you imagine? What an idea. The fact that we feel so close to every Jewish person, the tzedakah institution, the help for people that we don't know. Comes Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and said, korbanot, we will not have korbanot. But it doesn't mean that we are not going to continue to function as a community. And how great a person has to be at the time to see that with no Beit HaMikdash, with no center, we will continue to function, and how to function as Jewish people, as a Jewish community. Let's see other things. Edut HaChodesh, very famous. Everyone who learned here, Masechet Rosh Hashanah. In Beit HaMikdash, there was a takana that at a certain point of the day on Rosh Hashanah, on the first month of the year, you don't accept witnesses who come to tell you that they saw the moon and you can do Kiddush HaChodesh. The reason was too complicated to explain here, but it continued because Kiddush HaChodesh, by the way, the Rambam said was until the days of Abaye and Rava. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai said, stop. We are going to accept Eidut HaChodesh Kol HaYom Kulo. Rabbi Yochanan understood people will make their religious world around Beit HaMikdash, it's going to be destroyed with Beit HaMikdash. You had to find a way to keep you attached to Torah and mitzvot without the most central aspect of Torah, Beit HaMikdash. You know, when he was in Yavne, we know who were the Chachamim with him. The Chachamim were Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. Not even the five Talmidim that he was so proud of before. He did not have then Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Netan Elber Rabbi Shimon. No Kohen was in Yavne. Gedalia Alon, which to me is the greatest scholar of the time, he points it out and he proved it very well, and he said the reason is very, very simple. The reason is that the Kohanim opposed Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Kohanim drew their status from being part of the Beit HaMikdash. They always tried to keep the hope Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. And they could not accept the shift that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai created, that you can stay a strong Jewish community and a strong Jew even without Beit HaMikdash, with all the pain and the sadness. And they never joined him. Never joined him. There was some other opposition, and I will finish it in 3 minutes. And this was from the family of Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. They saw that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai became a president. He make takanot, he do all kinds of things that only the president is doing. And it was for them, for their family. It was a family from Hillel that, by the way, had a yichus to David HaMelech. And they opposed him to the point that some of his greatest students did not join him to Yavne. And what you have to know is that after 15 years in Yavne, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai left Yavne. We don't know if he offered back the Nesiut to Rabban Gamliel, who came from his hide. Maybe he was forced by the other Chachamim to do so. But we do know that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai ended his life in Bror Chayil, which is a place which today is not far away from Nahalal, for the people who know Israel, in the southern part of the Galilee. Let's hope that it was a friendly transition. Conclusion. The fact that we are here is thanks to Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. We have to realize it. And it was not easy. It's a lesson for every leader. Sometimes leadership is something that you have to create. Don't wait that other people will grant it to you. He saw a situation that if he will not step up to the plate, no one will do it. The Jewish people are going to be destroyed with Beit HaMikdash. He paid for it. But he won. We are here a lot thanks to Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Thank you. And hopefully this is the last shiurim for Tisha B'Av. Sheibane Beit HaMikdash b'mera b'yameinu amen.